You are listening to the Just Chill Parenting Podcast. I am your host, Rosie Davidson, an infant sleep consultant, author, and mum of three. This is a show all about honest chat where I talk about my favourite topic, sleep, of course, but I will also be covering your burning parenting questions and speak to some very special guests along the way. So buckle up and enjoy! Hello and welcome to the Just Chill Parenting Podcast. I am your host, Rosie, and this episode is going to be a solo episode from me talking all about toddler sleep. I'm going to deep dive into the world of toddlers. You might be somebody listening who has never actually had good sleep with your child, be it when they're a baby or now as a toddler. And I think there's a lot of shame around sleep and the toddler years. It feels like we should really have it sorted by now, or people that you speak to or friends or family just expect your child to be sleeping really well. Maybe they're not. Maybe you had a really good sleeper as a baby and then suddenly they've hit toddlerhood and it's all gone to pot. Whatever your situation, I think that this episode is going to be a great chance for me to provide you with some actionable advice and maybe some insights into what could be going on with your toddler. I want to talk about what's normal, how we can handle sleep challenges, and crucial tips for helping them create a healthy sleep routine and habits. Let's first of all talk about how much sleep toddlers actually need. And this really does vary from child to child. And I think it's important to note that with every human being, we'll have our own individual sleep requirement. By sleep requirement, I mean how much sleep we need in a 24-hour period. Most toddlers will need between 11 and 14 hours of sleep per day, including naps. That is just a generalized guide. And if your toddler is on the lower end of that, please don't be alarmed. As long as they're happy and healthy, some children and adults can operate on a lot less sleep than others. And you do get the other end of the spectrum where we have really kind of high sleep needs, we call them, children who might have a bit more. They might be doing far more naps in the day and a longer overnight stretch. But let's not get that confused with a child who maybe only does 9 or 10 hours overnight and a long nap in the day. Actually, that child is hitting the same amount of sleep as a child who does 12 hours overnight. It doesn't actually necessarily matter. And there's a lot of talk out there about, oh, they must be doing this long nap still at this age. There really are no rules, guys. Please throw the rule book out the window. It's about what works for you and your family and your child. If they are happily going to sleep at night, sleeping for some good, solid sleep overnight, and if they're napping, that's fine. But what can sometimes happen is naps can be longer than we want them to be, and that's then having an impact on night sleep. And that's when we might need to intervene. Sleep can also vary according to other influences, like temperament. And by temperament, I mean personality, what they're like. Are they more sensitive? Are they quite chilled? Are they something in between? Routine. So your routine as a family, whether they go to nursery or not, other things and influences in their lives, like new siblings, you go away a lot, you travel a lot, have they had illness, other things impacting their sleep, and of course their environment. So that could be, do they sleep in a room on their own? Do they share a bed with you? Do they share a room with a sibling? What is your family setup and your culture? So that can also affect things. And also where you live, like climate, things like climate can affect sleep, as in temperature. So there really are a lot of potential variables, but there are a lot of similarities for the toddlers that I've helped over the years. And we have helped as a team thousands of families. And there are things that we notice and trends and things that we know can really help impact sleep in a really positive way. There's a lot of talk about sleep regressions. Oh, sleep regressions. This term drives me bonkers because actually nobody's sleep regresses and goes backwards. Development is always moving forwards, unless there's really something quite serious going on, in which case you need to speak to your doctor. But in terms of developmental milestones, that can sometimes impact sleep. So I'm going to get onto that as well. There's also other things like teething. So teething gets a bad rap, actually, but if you have a child who's more sensitive when their teeth are coming through, and again, that comes down to temperament, but also how they experience physical pain, and everyone experiences it differently. So some little ones will be more affected by teething. It shouldn't be more than 4 to 6 days on average of discomfort as the tooth emerges. If it's longer than that, it's unlikely that it's teeth or teething related. But some of them can be more sensitive to changes in routine and all these other environmental things that could be going on. So understanding your toddler and what's going on with them can really help. So having a think about this, and I talk a lot about journaling and writing things down, I think can be really helpful. Have a think, maybe make some notes about what your child is like. Are they happy approaching new people, meeting new people? What are they like in new environments? Are they quite clingy to you? Do they find changes in routine really upsetting? Like some people say to me, oh, we ended up doing a later bedtime, maybe not even by that much, and they were having absolute meltdowns. Maybe they're a bit more sensitive. Maybe things like that don't bother your child and they take it all in their stride, in which case maybe they're a bit more relaxed. So having that in our minds when we're approaching a sleep challenge can be quite helpful. Thinking about routine, and routine is a big one for toddlers. Actually, for all humans, we all love routine. Routine is so helpful. Routine is something that drives us. Even people who say, I'm not a routine person, I actually think you probably are, you just don't realise that you are. We tend to do similar things at the same time each day, and this helps to ground our bodies. It helps our circadian rhythm, our internal body clocks, to know what's coming next. Therefore, we're more relaxed. The body knows what's coming. Therefore, we know when to sleep. We know when to produce the right sleep hormones. Routine is great. Obviously, there are times and phases and stages in our lives where routine might not be that easy. I know as well at the toddler age, we do have the sometimes added complication of childcare or nursery. So I've helped lots of parents over the years where they say, my child doesn't need a nap anymore, or they only need a short nap, but at nursery they're doing a really long nap and it's becoming a nightmare because then they're not falling asleep at bedtime until 10 o'clock at night, then they're tired the next day, and it's like this really vicious cycle. And sometimes if they're doing a long nap in the day that they don't necessarily need that much, it can mean that at bedtime you're trying to get them to sleep when they're not quite ready. Therefore, you come up against resistance to bedtime and you can start doing things you didn't want to do. So fighting them over it, they're asking for more stories, more drinks, more requests. They want to interact with you more because they're not actually tired. So they want to play, all those kind of things. And not to confuse that with when they are trying to push limits and boundaries, which can happen anyway, even if they are ready for bed. So I kind of want to note that. Let's talk again about this idea of a sleep regression. And it's really common for people to talk about this age two. I don't think there is a specific age or stage where we can talk about a regression, other than the only one that I officially recognise being the 4 month sleep regression, which in fact tends to happen somewhere between 10 and 24 weeks when your little one's sleep architecture, the way they sleep, does change biologically and they are progressing in terms of their sleep cycles and they sleep more like an adult in terms of the science of how they sleep. But they're not losing a skill, they're not forgetting how to sleep. It's not the case. They just change how they're sleeping. Therefore, sometimes what you were doing to get them to sleep before isn't working anymore. At age two, this isn't happening. There's no biological change in their sleep, but there are different things that can be happening with sleep. Like I said, external factors that we need to consider. For a lot of two-year-olds, there might be a sibling, you might have gone on holiday, they might be starting nursery, is a really key one at this stage. And that's a huge thing in your little one's life. It's the first time potentially that they've ever been separated from you for any period of time. They might catch lots of bugs and viruses at nursery as well. And the same goes for childminders and even having a nanny as well. There's lots of different, obviously, childcare options. And all of these options mean some kind of separation from their primary caregiver. So that's just to put it into context of what might be going on. But also, they naturally are learning about the world. And as part of that, you might find that they're pushing boundaries. You might find that for many different reasons, they might start waking more in the night. And they might be pushing those boundaries. You change them and they change even further. And you end up in a position you really didn't want to be in. Bedtimes can sometimes become more like a battleground than actually something relaxing that it used to be like. There can be stalling tactics. There can also be things like potty training. Potty training also can put another spanner in the works. So when we're looking at sleep, we want to look at one thing at a time. If you're looking at improving things, or certainly if you're looking at changing anything, do this at a time where there's not loads of other things going on in their lives. So think about, are they starting nursery? Are they potty training? Is there a new sibling? Are you about to go on holiday? Maybe if those things are happening, you hold off. Or a new sibling, if you know you're, I don't know, 2-3 months pregnant, maybe now's the time to tackle sleep rather than waiting just before baby arrives, or when baby arrives, even worse, because life has become a bit more uncertain. So our toddlers are always looking for stability from their caregivers. They want to know that they're safe. And change sometimes means that we don't necessarily feel safe. Little ones, more than any humans, love sameness. They like to know that things are the same. And the way that they learn, actually go out in the world and learn, is there a secure attachment to their caregivers and knowing that they can always return to us from like a safe base. And they have, I guess, if you imagine a circle around that safe base, and they will go out into the circle, have a look around and come back in. So if that base feels unstable in terms of like other change in their life, sometimes that can cause problems. There's also another lovely stage. Well, actually, it can be quite exciting. A challenging stage sometimes, and sometimes daunting, which is moving from a cot to a bed. That can be a tricky one, or certainly it can feel tricky. I think in practice, if you get the timing right, it can be really successful. Please don't rush to do that. Little ones don't have a lot of impulse control at all. They're going to have more impulse control the longer that you leave it. So if you can leave it as late as possible, if they are climbing out of a cot and it's unsafe, then obviously you need to move them into a bed. But do consider, are they still in a sleeping bag? You can get larger sleeping bags. My son B is still in a sleeping bag. He's really tall for his age. We have managed to find some from Amazon. And you might find that a sleeping bag will stop them from climbing out. If it doesn't, then absolutely move them, or if their sleep space isn't big enough for them. But if they're happy in a cot, leave them in a cot until you actually need to move them. Certainly if there's a new sibling about to arrive, maybe consider the timing, because we don't want to do it just as a new baby arrives, because your little one can feel like they're not your baby anymore, and it can be kind of almost a rejection, and that can mean that they feel like this base isn't as stable as perhaps it once was, and maybe they feel insecure about their position within the family. So we want to do lots of reassurance around that. So basically, if you're looking to change one thing at a time and space out the change if you can, obviously sometimes life gets in the way and sometimes we do just have to do all of these things. It might be that they are starting nursery and it happens to be when they've got a new sibling coming, and it happens to be that you don't have space and they do have to move their sleep space, in which case, take solace in that little ones are very resilient. Children and humans have great capacity for change. We just want to set ourselves up for the best possible outcome. And to do that, if we are able to plan things, that's great. If we're not, please don't beat yourself up. Just roll with it and do the best that you can do. Let's think about naps, because this is a real challenge for toddlers, and there's no set age or stage that they have to drop all naps. That dropping of the nap can be quite tricky and quite a challenge. What we often see is that they're resisting their nap, skipping it completely, or they're still doing their nap and fighting bedtime. And those three things can potentially mean we need to change something. They might be still doing their nap, but they're starting to wake in the night more frequently than before, or they're waking up and they're kind of wanting to play and they almost seem well slept. Another key sign is they're waking up quite early in the morning. An early morning waking, I tend to say anything before 6 o'clock, we treat it as nighttime because it really is. And what can sometimes happen is they're waking up early. They're then catching up from that early wake with a long nap that could be too long or maybe even too early in the day. And their body learns that this is the rhythm. This is what they do. So then you do the longer nap or the early nap to catch up. And then the body remembers and it's like, yeah, this is what we do every day. So we keep waking early, and it can sometimes get earlier and earlier. And before you know it, you're up in the very wee hours of the morning that you don't want to be up at. So the balance of the naps is really key. What I would say, rather than cutting out a nap completely, is reducing first of all. And with early wakes, definitely try it a bit later and a bit shorter and experiment with that, and try and be consistent with your approach for a good week or two before you kind of give up and think this isn't working. You might think about some days they might just skip it because you're out and you're doing something, and that's fine. It might be that the next day they do need a nap. Often what toddlers will do is one day they'll do a nap and then the next day they don't. And it's kind of then maybe every 3 days, maybe even once a week at the weekend, they might suddenly nap. My kids were all similar in that suddenly they refused to sleep in their cot for a nap. They were just playing or getting in and out in terms of a bed. When my second one was in a bed, at this point she was still napping, but once she was in a bed, there was no way she was going to nap there. But what we did start to do was, if we were going out, so if I was going on the school run, sometimes she would fall asleep briefly then, although it's a bit later than I would have liked, obviously being like 3:15 in the afternoon. Or if we were driving somewhere, maybe at the weekend, driving to someone's home, one of our friends, and it was kind of lunchtime, she might fall asleep in the car. And that's fine. And actually, it kind of works itself out. Don't be too panicked if that happens. But again, some are more sensitive than others, and some might have a 20-minute car nap and then not want to go to bed at night. But it's a fine balance, and you need to have a life. And I don't want you staying in all day because you think, I don't want them to fall asleep after a certain time, and we're trying to cap the nap and all of that stuff. Talking of capping naps, I've woken all of my children as toddlers when they've been napping too long or too late. Some people call it a danger nap, and you've got two options. You can either go with the danger nap and just be like, I can't deal with waking them up, in which case you're going to need a later bedtime, and it is okay to do that sometimes. Or you wake them up, and sometimes they are super groggy and really hard work when this happens. This is called sleep inertia, and we wake up feeling grim, or just moody and just like, oh, I don't know what's going on. They can be a bit disorientated. That's where TV can be great TV show for distraction. Snack, a drink. It might be that they're still having a cup of milk or something in the afternoon, or yogurt, or a healthy nutritious snack ideally. Or you're distracting them by just getting out. Being out somewhere can really help. I used to find that. So it might be that they fall asleep in the car and then wake up really groggy, but you're somewhere exciting like a park or somewhere else, and just give them the time to come around, because they will eventually. But a snack can always help. I mean, who doesn't love a snack, an afternoon snack? Nap time can be a challenge. And if you do feel like you're a bit stuck with it, we'd love to help you either one-to-one, or our online course can be really helpful to try and plan your day a bit better and work on those nap transitions, as in most likely at this age dropping a nap altogether. Or some people might still be doing two naps and they're looking to drop one and consolidate into one nap from two. And if that's you, we can absolutely help with that as well. With all babies and children, keeping on top of how much sleep they need is really key. As your child grows into childhood, into the tweens and the teens, knowing how much your child needs within 24 hours can be really helpful. No one should be going to bed before they're actually ready for sleep, because the worst thing that you can do is lay there tossing and turning and start believing that you're a person who has a sleep problem. I know that a baby and a toddler might not be thinking that, but they might realize that it's difficult to get to sleep, and therefore you're spending time in your sleep space awake, when actually, ideally, how long we fall asleep, we call it sleep latency, should be around 15 to 20 minutes. Please don't worry if it's not that. One of my kids, my eldest, always falls asleep really quickly. Like, it's not a thing for her, and I don't worry about it. She sleeps really well. There's no concerns. But a lot of people will fall asleep, hopefully within about 15 to 20 minutes. If it's a lot longer than that, I start to think there's two things going on. One, either they're not actually tired enough for bedtime, which isn't helpful for anyone. We need sleep pressure to build in order to feel tired. That's that really sleepy feeling where your eyelids are closing. And that's a hormone called adenosine. And that needs to be nice and high at bedtime. If they've taken a long nap, or maybe even your child, kind of an older toddler into childhood, is resisting bedtime, sometimes it can be that they're on a later schedule. So it might be that they go to sleep at 8 and they are waking up at 7, and you're trying to put them to bed at 7, but actually they don't need 12 hours sleep anymore. So thinking about how much they sleep over 24 hours, and maybe keeping a diary, if you're having problems with your toddler or your child where they're taking a long time to fall asleep, make a note of the time they actually fell asleep and try for a few nights putting them to bed at that time, because that's when their body actually wants to sleep. And then gradually you can move that forward, and that can be a really helpful strategy again that we can help you with. This episode is brought to you by Just Chill Baby Sleep, the number one infant sleep consultancy in the UK and beyond. We really love sleep, and we want you to have all the information that you need about sleep at your fingertips. Our award-winning, self-led online courses can banish those bad nights and leave you feeling calm and in control, and most of all, well rested. For more information about our online courses and one-to-one support, please go to justchillbabysleep.co.uk. Listeners can also use the code JCPP for 10% off any online course or bundle. So sleep well. One of the things that's really important with toddlers and small children is to hold your boundaries and think about what boundaries you are comfortable with and what you're not comfortable with. Some people are still happy to bed share, others it's their worst nightmare. Some will start finding themselves doing things they really didn't want to do, like reading 10 books or laying by their child's bed and falling asleep themselves, maybe sitting by the bed for the whole night, or returning like 100 times to keep returning them to bed. All those things are part of how your child falls asleep. And we have something called sleep association, which means what we associate with falling asleep, whether that is somebody holding our hand, maybe it's a particular pillow, maybe they suck their thumb, maybe they cuddle a teddy. And there's no such thing as good or bad sleep associations, but there are sleep associations that they can control or that they need somebody else to control for them. So like somebody holding their hand, for example, is someone else controlling that for them. So they need that input. And they might need that input between every sleep cycle at night. Most toddlers and children, once they are asleep, will sleep really well for the first few hours of the night. And that's partly to do with sleep pressure and melatonin, which are two sleep hormones that help us sleep. But also because humans take a large proportion of our non-REM sleep, as in our deep sleep, in the first 3 hours of the night. So it will often be after those first 3 hours that things really get a bit messy, and you might find them getting out of bed more and asking for you back when maybe you were there at bedtime. You're not alone. And I just want to reassure you that one of the reasons why you're struggling potentially so much and your toddler isn't is because those first 3 hours are really restorative. And if you put your child to bed, let's say 7:30, and they're sleeping 8:30, 9:30, 10:30, and that's when you want to go to bed, they've already had 3 hours of restorative sleep. You haven't. So your restorative sleep is between 10:30, 11:30, 12:30, 1:30. That's your restorative sleep section of the night. And if they're getting you up every hour or less or more, it really varies child to child and issue to issue that we've dealt with, you're not getting your solid non-REM sleep. So I want to reassure you in a weird way that that is why your child is okay and they can still carry on in the day and you can't and you're struggling. So what can we do about toddler sleep? I think there's three key areas and I've touched on all of these today, but one is routine, thinking about their nap balance and their bedtime. Don't be afraid to do a later bedtime if they're still napping and you're like, oh, it's really hard to cut it. Maybe what I did with B, he had a nap for quite a lot longer than I think he actually needed one for, but I wasn't prepared to be putting him to bed at 6 p.m. because I knew he'd be up at 5 a.m. the next day. So I thought, you know what, let's have a nap, maybe for longer than he needs it, and he can have an 8:30 p.m. bedtime for a while, because for me personally, my daughters are still up then anyway, that's when they go to bed. So I thought we may as well have him up as well. And then we got to the point where we reduced the nap. Some days he was doing it, some days he wasn't. And now he doesn't nap, and now he's in bed by 7:15, which is really a nice refreshing change for our family, to be honest, because it means I can really focus on his sisters and their bedtime routine and connecting with them before the separation, which is going to bed at night. And it is quite a big deal for lots of children. Again, I touched on temperament. And if we're thinking about solving a sleep challenge, we need to look at temperament. We need to look at their routine. We need to check the environment in their room. Is there any tech we can take out? Is it a great temperature? What about the bedding? Is it blacked out? Really important to black out those bedrooms for helping with early morning starts. And if you're listening to this and it's summertime or springtime, you might find that it's still light at bedtime. So helping them settle down with blackout blinds is great. A really good temperature. Is there anything bothering them in their environment? Or is there something you could introduce to help them, like a special teddy or some role play before bed with like a shoebox with teddies in it and you're playing bedtime? Can you introduce a bedtime routine chart? We do have a free download of that, which I'll include in the show notes. We kind of call it a social story where you can have photos, you can make a post, you can do drawings of all the things, all the stages of bedtime, and then them happy in their bed. Talking around the subject in a non-pressurized way during the day can really help. So all those things can be great. And then thinking about how they actually settle to sleep. And if they need you to do something, these sleep associations we were talking about, is there a way that you can gradually reduce that input and support them in a different way where you're a bit more hands off and you're working towards them falling asleep independently? Because if they can do that, then they're more likely to do that consistently if they are to stir during the night. And it's really, really normal to stir during the night. As I said, there's lots of things that can cause an impact or have an impact on sleep, like potty training, starting nursery, new siblings. There's so much going on in our little ones' lives. But looking at supporting them the best that way we can without changing our boundaries around bedtime. So I always think, do what you need to do, but do the least that you can do in terms of the least amount of change around what you're comfortable with, because you can have an impact on what they expect from you during the night. And it's okay to be hands off at nighttime because you all want to sleep well. It's also okay to be hands on if that's what you enjoy and that's what they need in that moment and maybe that period of their lives. It's not forever. But there's things we can do. Like I touched on earlier, maybe your little one needs to hold your hand to go to sleep. Why don't you hold their hand so that you can be in control of when you start removing that hand gradually before they fall asleep, so they get used to doing that last little bit of falling asleep themselves? That is just an example. I speak to parents about their toddler sleep all the time, and so do the team. And we have our online toddler sleep course, which is so helpful to guide you through how sleep works, how to have a great routine, the nap transition, other things that can affect sleep, and working on how they settle and some strategies for that. We don't want you to be struggling alone and feeling like you're the only one with a toddler or a child. To be honest, I help kids up to teenage years and adults with sleep as well. Adult sleep can be improved. So you're not alone, and there's no kind of cutoff point for when people shouldn't struggle with sleep anymore. But there are simple strategies and things we can focus on. So no one is ever beyond help. And please know it is not too late. It really, really isn't. A lot of people worry that they've kind of missed the boat when it comes to sleep and they should have done things when they're a baby. And, you know, hindsight is a great thing, but annoying because you can't change what's happened in the past, but you can change things now. And having boundaries with your toddler and your child is really key. I always say to people, you know, if my toddler asks for ice cream for breakfast, I'm not going to say yes, because that's not the best choice for him. And I will hold my boundary. But sometimes when it comes to night times and bedtimes, partly I think because parents are really bloody tired and we've had a long day, whether we've had a good sleep or not, it's tiring looking after toddlers, like fatiguing. When it's night time, it can feel much harder to hold a boundary. It can feel easy to be drawn into requests to give them that extra cuddle. And I mean, we all love cuddles. But maybe that cuddle is starting to get annoying for you. Maybe actually you start thinking, this long cuddle that we keep doing and this cuddle I keep returning to do is actually maybe getting in the way of them falling asleep. There's no right or wrong when it comes to sleep, but thinking about things that I've discussed in this podcast alongside focusing on quality one-to-one time can really, really help. I love focusing on connection, because a lot of the time, going back to this secure base, they want to know that they are secure and that you are there for them, and they want to fill up their cup. And doing that before bed can actually really help with bedtime battles. So if you're working and you're rushing home from work and you're rushing them through the bedtime routine, they will feel that. I don't want you to feel guilty, because we all have limited time in the day, but sometimes slowing down, putting phones away, screens away, and having some one-to-one time before they go to bed, just following their lead, playing with the things they're playing with, even just observing them or describing what they're doing can really help. Thinking about screens as well, make sure that they're not having screens right up until bedtime. Screens, they have a place, but they're not really that helpful when it comes to sleep, if I'm honest. So trying to limit that if you can on the lead up to bedtime, and replace that with play with you. And it doesn't have to be quiet. It can be boisterous. It can be silly play. Sometimes they need to let out of a bit of energy before they go to sleep. Children are naturally very physical. In fact, all humans are. But we've learned to sit still, which isn't the best thing. And that's why we have lots of health issues, certainly in the UK and the Western world. A bit more movement. Naturally, children want to move. So making sure they've moved enough in the day, they've had nutritious food, you have covered all bases at bedtime. Like if they are potty trained, use the toilet before bed. Set your boundaries, how many stories you're going to do and what you are happy doing. And that is really key, and sticking to it. Children feel safe when they know what's coming and they know what to expect from you. And it's really normal for them to push back. Another toddler topic, which I do want to cover briefly, is nightmares and night terrors. So a lot of parents do start to talk about these and experience them. If you think your toddler is genuinely afraid of the dark, which can absolutely happen, especially if they start watching TV and they start learning about the world and start becoming scared. If you have a night light, opt for a red base light, or you can kind of get like amber or orangey type colours, or even pink. Think the colour of fire. I always say, rather than kind of blue and white lights, which can be disruptive to our sleep. If they're having a nightmare, comfort them and reassure them and help settle them back to sleep. But please know that it's unlikely they will remember it. If they do, that's okay. You can talk about it and try and reassure them. And sometimes talking about nightmares can help them go away. Night terrors, they won't be aware. They won't remember anything about it, and that can be quite scary. They can be writhing around, screaming, all these kind of things. And if it's a night terror, the main thing actually is making sure that they are safe and then trying to leave them alone, perhaps being in the room but not intervening, because then you can actually wake them up and it can make things a lot worse. You just want to make sure that they are safe. Always using the toilet before bed can sometimes help with night terrors. I often find that a full bladder can exacerbate it. It might be that they are going through something in the day, so just checking that everything's okay, maybe talking to them about things in the day outside of bedtime to try and process anything that they might be worried about. And the role playing can really help with that, as I suggested. Making sure they're not overtired. I don't like to talk too much about overtiredness because people get really paranoid about it. Making sure that they're not overtired can help, because sometimes that can cause night terrors. Sometimes if they're having a night terror at the exact same time every night, sometimes stirring them, so going in and stirring them between their sleep cycles, so like just maybe stroking them or singing to them or something just to make them stir, can help disrupt that sleep so that the terror doesn't happen. That can sometimes help. But they are often just a stage and they will get over it. So there's lots going on with toddlers, and I want to reassure you that you're not alone and there's always things that you can do and focus on. Having mentioned all these different things, it can feel quite overwhelming and it can feel like, gosh, it's one thing after another. But trying to focus on one small thing at a time is always a good idea, rather than trying to do loads of different things all at the same time, like dealing with the boundary pushing, moving them to a bed, changing the nap, changing their sleep environment, all these kind of things. We want to look at one thing at a time. So I mentioned briefly earlier, maybe make a list, keep a sleep diary, just keep a diary. It doesn't have to be complicated, of when they fell asleep, how long they napped, how many times they woke in the night and what they needed to go back to sleep. Think about that. If they're having nightmares and night terrors, what time of night are they? How long does it go on? Is it every night? And then you can look at your week and say, is there something that happened that caused these things? Is it that it's a nursery day that they are really stalling at bedtime because either they had a long nap, they don't normally have a nursery will wake them up, or is it because they're actually seeking connection from me and I need to just slow down? Is it that they've had an early tea at nursery as well? Actually, this is another key thing. Sometimes they eat their tea really early at nursery, so then they come home and they're actually hungry and they need a little healthy snack before bed. Sometimes that can be a cause of early waking. But covering off all these things and knowing that if this just feels like a massive confusing mess, we can help you. Please don't suffer alone. We'd love to help you one-to-one or through our online courses. So get in touch. You can DM me on Instagram or you can message me via the website or email us. Please just reach out, because you're not alone. And there are sometimes really simple things. Obviously, there are other things that you might need to speak to your doctor about, like illnesses or underlying issues. You know, it might be that your doctor refers you to another specialist for something, whether it's dermatologist for skin issues, whether it's an ENT for breathing and snoring issues. Snoring is generally a red flag in toddlers if it's happening all the time. If they've got a cold, which let's face it, a lot of them have a lot of the time, it can be normal to snore. But if they're snoring outside of congestion, then it's something that needs to be investigated. There's lots of things that I can't help you with that you need to speak to your GP about or another healthcare practitioner. And if you're in the UK, there are health visitors as well who hopefully you can get hold of if you have any concerns. I hope that was really helpful. Please know that we're always here, and I hope that you can get a good night's sleep with your toddler really soon. Please remember to review, rate and subscribe to the podcast. It means the absolute world to have you listening. I'll be back soon with more parenting problems, rants and sleep information soon. Sleep well.